Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. The reason that we're looking at healthy alternatives is we're looking to have you achieve optimum health and well-being. Why do you want to look at things for yourself? Well, there's some shocking information that's come out about the number of deaths that actually occur from flu. You may have heard the estimate is about 36,000 deaths happen every year from the flu. Well, turns out new figures released by the Center for Disease Control show that over the last 3 decades, it was actually a lot lower than that. It was 1/3 fewer people dying from the flu, according to the CDC. It was about 23,000 people. Now, here's the further shocking part. The way they go about figuring out this figure is they do a mathematical estimate that's based on an assumption that if a death certificate had respiratory or circulatory disease listed as a cause of death, then it should be counted as a flu-related death. The Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons is one of the groups that's been highly critical of this way of the CDC figuring out number of flu deaths. As a matter of fact, when you did look closer at these figures, in 2001, there are only about 257 deaths directly attributable to the flu. And in only 18 was the flu virus positively identified. So what we're saying is we've got statistics out there that scare us all into going and getting an injection that may not be necessary at all. So that's why we're looking at healthy alternatives. What can we do to take charge of our health? Today, we're going to be looking at work-life balance with my expert. We're going to be looking at this notion because you might be saying today, with all the craziness going on in the economy and all the stress people are under, what work-life balance? So there are things that you can do, and you'll learn about them as I talk to my guest a little later in the show. If you want to know more about me, you can click on the globe on this page or go to teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. What I like to do in this segment is what I call breakthrough alternatives, so looking at new discoveries, new information, things that you can do as a healthy alternative for yourself. And so I was just talking about the flu and the stats there, but if you are still saying those stats have to be right, then let me give you natural alternatives that you can use for yourself. First one is real simple. Wash your hands and wash them for 15 seconds. 15 seconds is the time it takes to, in effect, take those bacteria, those viruses that may be on your skin and get rid of them. And that's not using antibacterial soap. You want to be using regular good old soap. Another option you have is an herb called echinacea. Echinacea, as many studies have been done, and it's been found to be an excellent cold and flu fighter. Now, whatever it says on the bottle to take, double it and take it at morning and night during the period that you have the flu. Another herb is a Chinese herb called astragalus. what it does, it stimulates your immune system. So astragalus is one that you can look at taking in the winter to boost your immune system, so it makes it more effective to resist whatever's coming at you. Now, if you do get the flu, there's a product that's called Sambuco. It's a natural type of cough syrup. You can also find it under the herbal name of elderberry. In a study, researchers gave half the patients Sambuco and the rest got a placebo. In 3 days, 90% of the patients taking the Sambuco were completely cured of their flu. So there are things you can do from a healthy alternative that can handle the flu if you do think the statistics are that you might get it. Now, before I bring my guest on, I'd like to pause for a moment for this message.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
My guest today is Jeff Davidson. He is an expert in work-life balance, and he speaks to corporate and association groups. He's written the book, Breathing Space, Living and Working at a Comfortable Pace in a Speeded-Up Society. That book has actually been selected by 4 book clubs. He's also authored Simpler Living, The 60-Second Innovator. Jeff also has been quoted and featured in USA Today, The New York Times, Washington Post, The Los Angeles Times. He's also past president of his National Speakers Association Carolinas chapter, and he's been selected 5 years in a row by the U.S. Small Business Administration as a Media Advocate of the Year in his state. Jeff, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Glad to be here.
Great. And so what I want to look at today, since you're an expert in both work-life balance and the notion of taking a breath, in effect, in the book Breathing Space, the information overload that's coming at us, how did this develop in the first place? I know we all feel we're stuck in it, but where did it come from?
It's built up slowly over the decades with each new technological innovation, really starting with the PC and the Mac in 1981, then add in faxes, add in cell phones, add in instant messaging, add in high-speed broadband connections, and bingo, all of a sudden, each of us every day are bombarded by more information, more communication coming our way, more things we have to respond to, more competing for our time and attention. So the first thing for listeners right off the bat is, don't take this information overload phenomenon personally. It is impacting each of us all the time.
So with all this info coming at us, would you have people saying, so what? Big deal? You know, is there underlying things that are happening in terms of the impact on folks that you're aware of out of this kind of overload?
Absolutely. I mean, you could throw up your hands and say, well, I'm not going to be a part of this. You could move to a cabin in Montana, I suppose. But you know what? Every place you turn, more competes for your time and attention. And the impact on people is broad-based and really, in many cases, severe. I think people take pills today, in many respects, in increasing dosage, to handle the stress and anxiety that results from so much competing for their attention. I think it's harder for couples to stay together today. I think it's harder to be a parent. It's harder to be a boss because everyone is so overloaded. And so really the ramifications are broad-based and pervasive, in my opinion, throughout society.
One of the pieces of research I'm aware of is when people spend more time in front of their computers, they can actually have more depression hitting them as well. Is that something that you're aware of as well from your experience?
That's interesting. I had not heard that one, but it sounds like that would be completely believable. What I've encountered is people who become addicted to their online connections end up spending more and more time online, less and less time with actual real live people in the flesh in the same room with them. So it's quite an amazing phenomenon.
As a matter of fact, I saw an article just recently that kids, instead of sleeping with their teddy bears, are now sleeping with their iPhones. Now, can you solve this by just reading a book, attending a seminar? What do you have to do?
Well, certainly reading some books will help. I'm biased towards my own book, Breathing Space, Living and Working at a Comfortable Pace in a Sped-Up Society. Certainly seminars will help. But we have to understand that this problem did not begin yesterday, last week, last month, or even last year. It's been slowly building over time, over decades. And for each listener, the ways in which information and communication overload have infiltrated our lives and our careers are so pervasive that we have to step by step, item by item, kind of peel back and decide what's really important and what we can let go. So here are some of the things people could do right off the bat. If you have 2, 3, 4 different email addresses, maybe it's time to just narrow it down to 1 or 2. If you have lots of, you know, different online connections, lots of different sites that you visit all the time, let's take the case of news. Maybe you could just find 2 or 3 very reputable news sources that are comprehensive, that you enjoy, and let go of the rest. Even in your home, a lot of people subscribe to more and more cable stations, or they get a satellite dish, or they get other hookups. And instead of having 10, 20, 30 choices, now they have 100, 150, 200 choices. Well, Jerry, you probably know as a psychologist, nobody needs 200 choices, all right? At some point, more choices becomes a burden. So step by step, look for ways to pare down in your life. And lo and behold, you'll find that the day could turn out to be a little less hectic.
Now, you've got some competing forces, though, going on with folks. And that's, for example, that your job, they're expecting you to stay connected 24/7. How do you start handling those kinds of social business type forces that are in effect pushing us all into fast forward?
That's a great question. Unquestionably, there are people whose job description, job responsibilities call for them being alert, on call, available all the time. And I understand that and respect that. So what a person in that, so let's take that extreme case, someone who has to be on call all the time. So what a person in that case needs to do is carve out with their boss, with their organization, an understanding as to when they will receive or when they'll have breaks, when they have an opportunity to not be connected, to let go of all the ways in which they can be reached so that they have some personal time and space so that they can actually, have a nap, go to the bathroom, have lunch, have a conversation with someone, and know that they're not going to be interrupted. So that's a negotiation. Now, for people who believe that they need to be connected 24/7, and there's a lot of those, no one is holding a whip over them. There is no boss. There is no organization that demands it. They kind of demand it of themselves. For those people, I suggest they take a long, hard look at the ways in which they have boxed themselves in, that they have created a situation where they're connected to an electronic leash, which literally has them, you know, has their attention all the time. And once again, they don't have the opportunity to relax, to sit back, to have a creative thought, to reflect, to have what I call a sense of breathing space. So for those people who are connected 24/7, but no one is imposing that upon them, I believe that some intense introspection may help. Now, for everyone else who doesn't have to necessarily be connected 24/7, but nevertheless feels this growing responsibility of continually checking email, of continually checking, you know, instant messages and so forth, here again, get real with yourself. Understand that you need quiet, uninterrupted stretches of time where you can do your best work, your best thinking, you can reflect, you can take care of the first-time kinds of problems that require an innovative approach. Otherwise, if you allow yourself to be bombarded in any given minute by any message that comes over the pike, you will not have any sense of breathing space. Your days will race by, your anxiety will increase, and you'll feel as if you're not in control of your career and eventually your life.
I think one of the things you're talking about in terms of taking that time for creative is, if you think of pretty much most of the great research leap forwards that have occurred from scientists, they've occurred not when they've been in the lab, but when they've been like sleeping, walking on a beach, in the forest, and it lets the brain percolate around and come up with that level of innovation. When you don't have those moments, the brain is just focusing on those tasks and doesn't have kind of the time to focus on these other solutions.
Yeah, that is a great observation. That phenomenon that you described, some people call it the Eureka effect.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing in the shower and all of a sudden a great idea comes to you. Well, the odds are that idea may not have come to you at work when you're bombarded all day long. So we absolutely need to give ourselves the opportunity to have our wonderful creative imagination and thoughts percolate within so that they can bubble up and we can actually act upon them, make them reality. Absolutely.
We're going to take a break for a moment, and when we come back, we're going to start talking with Jeff about, from his book, Breathing Space, what are some of the principles there and some of the things that we can start applying in our lives. What I'd like to do is remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be right back with Jeff Davison in just a moment.
Improve your golf game today. It's absolutely possible using the DVD Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, from stress management coach Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Par and Beyond is a revolutionary new concept that yields immediate results. You'll experience the difference the very next time you play. Even the golf pros love this method. Randy Taylor hadn't placed in a tournament for 8 years, but just 1 week after taking this seminar, he came in second. It's not just in your swing, it's in your head. That's why T&I Golf Magazine calls Dr. Teplitz a headmaster. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf is available on DVD. You can get it by clicking on the Par and Beyond cover on the webtalkradio.net screen in front of you. You'll learn new, powerful techniques that will instantly improve your game, whether you're a pro or a duffer. This is your new secret to success on the course. It's a totally different approach, and it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. And don't tell your golf buddies. You're about to become a winner.
My guest today is Jeff Davison. He is the work-life balance expert. He speaks to corporations, associations. One of his books, Breathing Space, has been selected by 4 book clubs. He's been quoted and featured in places like USA Today, New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times. And Jeff, before we took the break, what I said is we were going to be looking at some of the things you have in your book, Breathing Space, Living and Working at a Comfortable Pace in a Sped-Up Society. So, and by the way, if you want more information about what Jeff's talking about, you can go to his website, which is simply breathingspace.com. So what are some of the principles that you're sharing in the book, Breathing Space? Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. First and foremost is probably to clear the spaces in front of you. One of the reasons why I call the book Breathing Space instead of something related to time is that I found over the years working with individuals and companies and speaking to groups that all other things considered, if you had a clear space in front of you, if your desk was cleared, if your tabletops were cleared, if you had a blank screen on your computer, you had a better chance of focusing on the next task at hand than if you were surrounded by all manner of files, half-open documents, piles, and whatnot. So the principle of breathing space, quite simply, is give yourself the best possible chance of focusing on the next task at hand by clearing your environment so that you have fewer things competing for your attention. And I've heard from people over many, many years now that that simple principle works for them in spades. I cleared my desk, I pulled out the one file folder I had to get started on, and bingo, all of a sudden I found myself really getting into the project. So one is to clear your spaces. Two is, and this is very difficult to deliver to people in contemporary society, but it's to focus on the art of doing one thing at a time.
And hey, Jeff, grown up Jeff, now. Hold on a second, because I can hear listeners who are multitaskers cringing. How do you do one thing at a time? Can you talk about how these folks can handle what you're talking about?
See, we've grown up in recent decades now with the message that it's okay to multitask. Every place we go, push me, click me, double up on this, triple up on that. And, you know, there are some tasks for which we can double up. We can watch television while we eat. There's no real harm there. But if we're talking on a cell phone when we're driving down the highway in a 3,000-pound vehicle, other cars around us, we're in danger to ourselves, danger to everyone who's on the road. People say, okay, well, I have a hands-free cell phone, so I'm okay. No, you're not. Both driving down the road, driving down a highway, and talking on a cell phone compete for your brain's sharp attention. And you can only give your sharp attention in one direction at a time. So even though you're reverberating back and forth multiple times per second between the phone conversation and driving down the road, you are not really at your best in either activity. Now,
the research that's out there clearly supports what Jeff is talking about, that in terms of accidents, that people who are attempting to talk on the phone and drive have less attention and get into more accidents. So there's clear research.
That's right. Four times the number of accidents as otherwise.
Great. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the amount, but yeah, that's good information, Jeff. So
yeah,
continue.
It's almost like driving
saying.
Drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, there's also now texting, which is getting outlawed in many states because literally people are taking their eyes off the road or just attention totally off the road if they're trying to text even without looking down.
Texting is a curse of our current generation. I've talked to state troopers and asked them, could you ever have conceived that 10, 20 years in the future, say from 1990, that one of the biggest road hazards would be people trying to send text messages with their thumbs while driving, and they just look at me, you know, the answer on their face is very obvious. Right now, by comparison, you and I are engaged in this conversation. As far as I'm concerned, talk about the art of doing one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. There is nothing else in the world of importance going on. I am here completely. The listeners can hear the conviction in my voice. I am not doodling. I am not looking at my computer. I am not thinking about what's next. I am totally dedicated to this conversation.
So does that mean I have to get off Google and listen to you? I'm just kidding. So continue, one thing at a time.
Slow down and do one thing at a time. Our focus becomes so much sharper. We get so much better at what we're doing. Clients want to work with us. Family members want to listen to us. Our whole life changes when people know we're giving them our undivided attention.
Are there other principles in breathing space that you can share with the listeners besides the
goes on. Endless. Another one is what I call managing the beforehand. Suppose you're going to a conference and you know you're going to be meeting several of your fellow psychologists, and afterwards you're going to write them a nice note, you know, glad to see you, good to catch up on such and such. If you manage the beforehand, in other words, make out the envelopes in advance, have the stamp ready, have your stationery ready, and then write the nice note before you leave the conference hall and drop it into the mailbox across the street or wherever you happen to be going, you will have given them the first message they receive by mail when they get back to their respective offices. If you wait till you get back to your office and then decide to make out the envelope, write the note, put on the stamp, perceptually, it'll be three times the work and it'll take you three times as long to get it out the door. So that's what I call managing the beforehand, as opposed to dealing with the aftermath of going to a conference. Most of the world deals with the aftermath of events.
For people who are listening who are saying, what is an envelope, what is a stamp, Jeff's idea would apply great to doing an advance email. So you're ready for that, and all you have to do is plug in people's email address and hit send. So same thing would apply at
any medium.
Email.
Any medium, traditional stamp and envelope, email, whatever. As long as you prepare in advance, and we're not talking about a ton of preparation here, but just recognize who you're likely to be seeing, who you're likely to be following up with, that task will be so much easier that you will be hooked on managing the beforehand.
Now, if you're one of those folks who's got piles of paper on your desk, what do you do right now?
You have to understand that piles represent postponed decision-making. Piles get that way because you're overwhelmed, you're swamped, you don't have the intellectual energy to deal with something at the moment. The more piles you have on your desk and the higher the piles stack up, the further behind you are in terms of staying present. I'm a strong advocate of breaking down those piles. Most of what's in the pile can probably be chucked or recycled. Some of it can be delegated to others. Some can be filed because you don't have to act on it now, so you can put it in a file that says December. Some has to be filed because it has future value. Hopefully, only a small percentage of the items in the pile are something that you and you alone must act on now. So the four things you can do: act on it, the smallest category, file it, which should be probably second, delegate it, presuming you have someone to whom you can delegate, which should be third, and chuck or recycle, which should be the largest category by far.
Great. Now, we're almost out of time, Jeff. What is your parting advice that you'd like to offer folks?
I think it's important for people to not take the information and communication overload that they're experiencing on a daily basis as some kind of personal shortcoming, some kind of you know, mismanagement of their time and their energies. It is a culturally pervasive phenomenon. And if we recognize that it took time for this to build up, it's going to take some time in our own worlds, our career, our homes, to kind of push it back down into place. So if you're 40 years old, you can make a difference in 40 hours and certainly 40 days. But don't get all flustered if you can't do too much in 40 minutes. Nobody can. It built up over time. We build it back down over time.
So you've been listening to my guest today, Jeff Davidson. If you'd like more information, he's the work-life balance expert. He does speak to corporations and associations. If you do want more information about Jeff, you can go to the website breathingspace.com. Jeff, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
My pleasure, Jerry.
Next week, I'll be talking to Mark Isaacson. Mark is CEO of Village Green Apothecary. This is an independent pharmacy located in Bethesda, Maryland, and it's on the leading edge of what we can call integrative pharmacies. He's got not only pharmacists, he's got nutritionists, he's got naturopathic doctor, he's got a clinical herbalist. What they're looking at is you from a total standpoint. They can actually do some fascinating testing now that you can find out what you need in terms of neurotransmitters, vitamin deficiency, hormones that need replacement. This is going to be a fascinating show. Don't miss it. This is Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.